Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Christian Loughlin. He's the Group Director of Projects of ISL in Trinidad, and also at the same time, a good friend of mine. So first and foremost, Christian, welcome to this interview.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bo.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Yes, as you know, with my interviews, I always let the accused or the interviewee elaborate a little bit on the background. I mean, you are living in a beautiful country. How come you are not by the beach or running a travel agent? How come you are in logistics?
Well, long story short, it's sort of passed down from my parents, and my father was into shipping.
Okay.
He was originally the agent for a Caribbean regional carrier called Tropical Shipping.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he built up Tropical Shipping here in Trinidad. And then after he decided that he was going to get into freight forwarding. And that was about 26 years ago.
Wow.
Yes. So my father passed in 2013, but you know, it's still a family but run business. My older sister is the group CEO, and I am in charge of projects.
Okay.
So over the years, we've just grown. We're in different markets now. We're in the United States, in Florida. We are in Guyana.
Oh, yeah.
We are in Suriname as well.
Yeah.
And so Trinidad is our base. That's where majority of our staff operate. And as you know, it's an exciting business, and especially in the Caribbean, I think it's very important because we import a lot.
Yeah.
So the only thing that sort of balances that trade for us is really oil and gas in Trinidad.
I understand.
So yes, but Trinidad is pretty unique in that, you know, at least amongst the Caribbean islands, because then people think Caribbean, they think, you know, tourism.
Yeah.
And that is correct. But Trinidad is quite the exception because we also are a key player in methanol in the world.
Okay, interesting.
Yes, one of the world's largest exporters.
Really?
And yes. And we used to do a fair amount of bauxite as well,
okay,
but not so much anymore.
That's certainly something I believe 99% of the world's population wouldn't know. I mean, bauxite and methanol export out of Trinidad, I never heard about that.
Yes.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know that Trinidad has one of the only asphalt lakes.
Okay. Wow.
So it's a natural asphalt lake.
Okay.
And it's quite funny because they extract the asphalt from the lake, they refine it, and they sell it to the Germans to build their lovely roads.
Ah.
But the roads in Trinidad have craters in them. So
I see. So when the Germans are boasting about their roads, then we know where it's actually coming from. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Christian, may I ask you just to stay a little bit up? So your background is, of course, from your family, and you are still running the business there. You have offices then in US, Guyana, and Suriname. What is your headcount? How many people are you in total?
So we have about 75 people.
Okay.
Among the group of companies.
Okay.
We have a pretty small presence in the U.S. Because we use the U.S. more as a, sort of a hub for receiving cargo. And we consolidate cargo in the U.S. and we send it to the Caribbean islands.
Okay.
So
cool.
It is a very key part of the puzzle for us because the majority of our trade is with North America still.
Okay. Of course. I understand. Yes. Now, when you mention all this, I really have to come up and see you soon too, because this is an area of the world I've never been to. So very interesting. What can you tell our viewers about the ports of Trinidad? What's the port called? I mean, for those who wouldn't know.
So even though it's quite a small island, we have two ports.
Okay.
We have one which is called Port of Spain,
okay,
which is just outside the city. It's actually just around the corner from where I am.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's actually where a lot of freight forwarders and shipping companies operate
Oh, yeah.
because the port is so close to,
Yeah.
Philly. And that is still the case. And then there's another port which was developed around an industrial zone where there's a lot of chemical and petrochemical processing plants,
Oh,
and that industrial estate is called Point Lisas.
Point Lisas. Ah, yeah, I've seen
And
that.
then around Point Lisas, there's a port, and that's where we handle the majority of break bulk cargo into Trinidad.
That's interesting. Yeah,
Yes.
I've seen Point Lisas before, but I never really thought I didn't even know it
Yes.
was in Trinidad. So, but
Yes.
okay.
Yeah.
Just a quick question. You say Port of Spain. Why is it called
Yes.
Port of Spain? Was it a colony of Spain or?
Well, we were colonized by the Spaniards, so
Okay.
that's probably something to do with it. So I
Okay.
think
So.
after the Spaniards, we were colonized by the British.
Okay. Right.
And then we
And
had
you.
independence in the 60s, and
Okay.
since then we've been a republic.
All right. Excellent. What is the population of Trinidad, Kristen?
It's 1.4 million.
So what we call a minor Chinese village.
Yes, sounds about right.
Yes, I can imagine. So in logistics, what can you tell our viewers about ISL? You can handle inland transport, customs clearance, unloading. Tell us about
Yes.
what you do.
Right. So basically, we are a typical freight forwarder whereby we would not be tied to any particular shipping line per
Right.
se, but we offer a lot of value-added services, insurance, customs brokerage. We have customs brokerage in-house, so
Oh,
it's not subcontracted. The only thing that we really subcontract might be transport,
yeah.
trucks and so on. So we do customs brokerage, trucking, insurance, insurance surveying, everything along the value chain within shipping.
Okay.
And air freight as well,
Oh, yeah.
both import and export. And yeah, so I mean, we're full-fledged door-to-door sort of service we
Okay.
offer.
Okay, and you can do that both in Trinidad where you are, but also in the other two countries. I mean, mainly Guyana and Suriname. You do the same there, or
Yes, that's correct.
okay. So how is the politics unfortunately play a large role. We see that around the world in shipping even today. How is the relationship with your neighbors? I'm just looking at the map where you are, and I can see a couple of big countries. Yeah, Guyana and Suriname both are quite big compared to Trinidad.
Yes.
How is the
Well, it's
relationship?
quite, yeah, it's quite funny because I would say Trinidad is a lot like the United States of the Caribbean.
Okay.
And by that I mean everybody loves to hate us. So
Yes. Yes.
I think it really has to do with the fact that we're probably one of the only Caribbean islands that have the natural resources.
Right, so they're
And
jealous.
yes,
Exactly.
yeah, the other islands also feel that, well, over the years, Trinidadian companies have invested in the other islands, buying some of the banks and the businesses. So they always view the Trinidadians as, oh, they came to buy us out, and yeah, so I mean, it's quite funny. But interestingly, since Guyana has discovered oil, the Guyanese have interestingly come up with local content regulations, and the Trinidadians joke and say that, well, it's to keep the Trinidadians out because there are some Trinidadian companies that operate there in Guyana, and they got into some trouble with the
Yes.
authorities
Yes. You
in
didn't have
Guyana.
this certificate.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
It's like my old grandfather used to say. He said, "The man is good, but the money is better." Meaning that people change once they get, you get oil, you get income, you immediately have the high nose, right? So
Yes, exactly. Yes.
it's a bit sad. So there's no, you don't have a free trade union or like a small EU or whatever.
Yes, yes. So in the Caribbean is something called CARICOM. So it's called the
CARICOM.
CARICOM, Caribbean Community is what it's
Ah.
called, and CARICOM is the shortened version.
Okay,
And
CARICOM.
Guyana, even though Guyana is on the South American continent, Guyana is part of CARICOM.
Okay, I see.
So
And
that's
you,
quite interesting.
and there's no visa
If,
requirement. You can travel freely between the countries.
yes, that's
Okay.
correct. Yes.
Now turning to the shipping lines serving your country and where you have offices there, they come into these ports. Are all the major lines represented? Do they call directly, or is it in transshipment? Do you have direct ro-ro service? How are you
So
served?
we have a lot of the shipping lines coming here directly. I think it's also to do with the fact that Trinidad is the furthest south in the Caribbean island chain. And we're always just under where all the hurricanes pass by. So so I think the shipping lines think it's a safe area to use as a hub. So actually a lot of these shipping lines come to Trinidad, and they would go from Trinidad to some of the other smaller islands as well. Yes, most of the shipping lines come here to Trinidad.
Do you see
Definitely.
that do you see that some of the shipping line try to act as forwarders in your countries as well, or
Certainly, certainly. Yeah, I think so. And I can think of one in particular.
Of course.
Starting with the letter M,
Yes, see my blue collar here.
So
Let's see how. Of course, they have the money to throw after it, but it all boils down to service. And let's see. I think I still believe the freight forwarder has a big role to play, and nobody can do everything 100%, for sure not. But
agree.
at least we hope so, because it's our business, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Are you? I mean, is most of the trade into your country and the other place where you have offices, is that FOB or CIF, or is there any particular, or can it be both? Do your companies normally pay the freight, so you have to do the sales there, or is it overseas?
Right. Majority of the trade in Trinidad and Tobago is consignee routed, meaning it would be FOB, yeah. Yeah,
Okay,
yeah.
cool. So that means you have the power to do the good sales there, and then you can secure it, so to
Yes,
speak. Okay, well
yes, yes.
that's of course a good advantage. And how would you say in your experience the trade? Of course, everyone was hurt by COVID, I suppose, your country as well. How has the trade been in the year that we just passed?
Well, so I think, like most Caribbean islands or all. We were fortunate enough to have sort of government incentives to encourage, expenditure during COVID. So I think unfortunately a lot of smaller businesses were forced to shut, some of them permanently. A lot of companies sort of scaled down as well. So I think most of the Caribbean islands still haven't fully recovered from COVID. And it's unfortunate because, the bigger countries have the resources to deal with it, but the smaller third world countries, especially the smaller islands, I guess they just they don't have the resources to do that.
And of course, if people don't, if the tourism is not there and they don't have minerals, they have nothing. It's just poverty, I guess, and other things. So I can understand that. I mean, do you see, is there a lot of competition for you in the daily business in your company, or you have to fight like everyone else, I guess?
No, definitely. I think it's Trinidad is one of the markets where it's very saturated. There's lots of competition. So all the shipping lines call here, and there are many freight forwarders. So the competition is very, very stiff. I would say the same of Jamaica and Dominican Republic. It's more or less the same. It's a very competitive market. And I think what we've seen since COVID is, customers are just more price sensitive than ever, and they're less driven by service and just more by price.
They say that they appreciate the service, but hey, what's the rate?
They want the Rolls-Royce service, and they want the I don't know,
To pay
the
the, let's say,
cheapest possible car, the Suzuki price.
Suzuki price, but the four-wheel drive. Yeah, of course. Okay, and looking here in the final questions here, how do you view the year we have just entered, 2024? What's the forecast for ISL and for your company?
So I think there's some increased activity within oil and gas in Trinidad for 2024. So we have BP, Shell, and one or two other small operators that are doing more exploration and drilling in the country. So there's more activity in oil and gas. So I think there's a level of optimism for 2024. So it should be better than
Should
23.
be better. So basically, this recent climate meeting in Dubai, where thousands of people jetted around the world to get to Dubai to talk green. I mean, that's one in a way kind of a joke in itself, I think. But
Agreed.
fossil fuels are here to stay. I mean, Guyana has struck oil; they are happy. Saudi are earning billions. You have oil. Will this cannot be replaced by green energy? How can that be phased out? The economies will go bankrupt, won't they?
But not only that, I think especially in several countries, we have not been in the transition to go with electric cars, like developed countries. It's not the same. We don't have the infrastructure, the charging stations and stuff like that. Interestingly, BP and Shell have a company. It's called Lightsource. And they actually invested in a huge solar project in Trinidad. And we're actually involved in the project, so we're doing all the local trucking and services for the
Fantastic.
project.
Now, but it's good, don't get me wrong when I mentioned about COP in Dubai. Of course, everybody wants green. So do I. So does everyone. But the point is just that we are doing it in the right way and not making a lot of grandstanding only to make it expensive for a lot of people. And then it's basically amounts to nothing for real. It's just grandstanding.
Yeah, agreed.
So of course it's good to see green initiatives, but it has to be on a gradual basis. When I normally live in Sweden, where we have a lot of focus on electrical vehicles, but what about the minerals that goes into the batteries dug up by slave labor in Madagascar or Congo or somewhere? I mean, there's something not right in this, I think.
Yes, agreed, certainly. And I think the rate at which people are switching to electric is just happening so fast that I don't think the consumers seem too bothered, how those minerals are extracted. It's just everybody just wants it, and
Exactly.
the governments there in Europe are certainly incentivizing. They have strict rules where everybody has to switch to electric by, what is it, 2035?
Something like that. We like to show ourselves as greener than the neighbor, there's a lot of grandstanding for sure there. Anyway, let's not get into that. That's politics, and we can't move it. I want to say, really, Christian, it's always good to talk to you, and I enjoyed our time here in Chile when we saw each other last. So I want to thank you formally for this interview.
All right, and thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're most welcome, Christian. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, besides this little political escapade here at the end of the interview, I hope you enjoyed it. This was an interview with Mr. Christian Loughlin, the Group Director Projects of ISL in Trinidad. They also have offices in the US, Guyana, and Suriname. So do contact him in case you need help in that region. And for me, editor of Project Cargo Weekly, over and out, and until next time. Thank you very much.